it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I'm Sam Querrey, and this is Drop Shot.
I'm just making my way into Devonshire Park in Eastbourne now. The rain's held off today, it's windy, but we should get a day's play in. We're at the business end of the week now, and it's all become serious, and there's far less tennis to watch. I have to say, that's what I love about the beginning of these pre-Wimbledon tournaments. You can find the most incredible players playing in the first round against each other, matchups that you would probably only get in the quarterfinals of a slam. That's what I think people don't realise, is that these pre-Wimbledon tournaments are well worth visiting because you're going to see players you could only dream of seeing on TV in a couple of weeks' time when Wimbledon happens. The quality of tennis is invariably top draw, especially here in Eastbourne, as the majority of the top 10 women are playing this week. I'm going to miss these rituals I have every day. Park my car, go to get my bag checked by the security people, getting to know them a bit over the days, saying hello, having a chat, moving through the empty grounds, watching it wake up as the groundsmen prepare the courts for the day's play. The venue comes to life with activity, shops opening up, players practicing, workers getting their food at the start of the day, and you realise that everything's geared up for that moment when the gates open at 10 o'clock. And then there's the stampede of people coming in ready for the day of entertainment. I just love this summer. It's been a hell of an experience, no matter what the weather has been like, and I've only got one more day to go. If anything comes out of Dropshot, I hope that listeners realise that there is something magical in the tennis world that goes on before Wimbledon, and possibly on their own doorsteps, whether that's in Nottingham or Birmingham or Eastbourne or Manchester or Ilkley or Surbiton. There's so many great tournaments, and you can see a quality of tennis that will delight a lot of people. Right, I'm just approaching bag check, so I'm going to get that done, and let's see what the day brings. Ons Jabeur has just beaten Elise Cornet and is about to give her press conference. To be quite honest, I'll be very surprised if she turns up, as she turned her ankle at one point in the match and it looked really bad. I've no idea how she carried on, as she was hobbling and seemed to be playing on one leg, so we'll see what she has to say, but it really didn't look good and I would think she'll need treatment, so I'll be very surprised if she turns up. She's there? Okay. I'll be there in a sec. Well, there you go. Ons Jabeur has turned up and she is in the press conference room, so let's go and talk to her.
It's painful, I don't know. I'm really happy that I finished the match. That's the closest important thing for me. We'll see tomorrow. I have no idea. I'm going to do my best thing to recover fast. Doesn't look that bad. It's not also good, but we'll see.
Can you just talk through what happened? Because if I'm right, Cornet had gone over on her ankle as well at some stage in the match.
I mean, honestly, I was not focused with her. She said that she had some pain or something, but for me, it was staying focused. It was a tough rally at 40 love. I tried to go the forehand down the line, and then I didn't lean very good on my leg. I heard a crack and it went really fast, but I don't know. Actually, it doesn't look that bad. At the beginning, I thought I'm not going to be able to walk. But then I was trying and I was thinking about Karate Kid movie.
So you're going to basically stand there?
Yeah, I don't care. Playing on one one leg. For me, I was very close to win, so it's going to be a waste if I lose this match, you know.
She hopes she'll be fit for tomorrow.
Honestly, I want to keep positive and be able to play, especially I'm playing against such a good player, Kerber, and we never played before. So for me, it's an opportunity and I'm going to do my best tonight. I trust my team, I trust my physios, and we'll see. It was a tough week for me. First semi-final this year, so but I'm pretty happy. I mean, to come back after it happened first round and second round, the same scenario. I think I like that somehow, but pretty happy that I made it through to wake up the second set, and the third set was even better, you know.
Psychologically, how difficult it is, having had such a big game yesterday and beaten the top home player, to build yourself up again for today's game? Was that what kind of happened through the first set, and how did you reset?
I mean, yesterday I didn't want to think about it too much, you know. It happened. I won. For me, was to think about today. Honestly, Konta does not play the same as Alize. Alize brings all the balls. I mean, to win a point, it was kind of tough for me. And at the beginning, it was mentally a little bit tough for me to win a point. But I knew I had to work hard to win every point, even if I have easy ball. It's not an easy ball for me. But I mean, moving better at the second set, the third set, even I was feeling really tired, but I had to pull that through, and then pretty happy that I did that. I didn't play my best tennis for sure, but today I learned how to win with the ugly tennis.
What are your thoughts on playing Kerber?
Well, I mean, I have nothing to lose for sure. She Wimbledon was last year, so maybe it was not the same. I hope she will not play as good as she played last year, and I'll be ready to play tomorrow. I will do my best for sure. I mean, she's playing really good. She proved herself everywhere in any tournament. Nothing to lose. I'm gonna give 100% for sure.
The crowd seen behind her today.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because one of the moments some lady said, "Come on, Alize," and I looked at her and was like, no, that's not good. You have to cheer for me. But they were really nice supporting me, especially when I twisted my ankle at the end. They were like clapping and say, "Come on." I mean, giving me the good energy to continue and win this match.
What does the evening hold for her? Time for an ice bath?
I just did that, actually. Oh yeah, for the ankle. Now, I mean, I'm just gonna rest. I have to eat, a little bit hungry, and probably go to the ocean. And I like to do that after the matches.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Should I stand there?
Injuries is something that's fascinated me all summer. It's something I've talked to quite a lot of players about who've had injuries, how they cope with it mentally, how they get through the tough times of not playing tennis. And speaking to Jabeur now, you do feel for these players because this is their job, I guess. You know, that's the main thing you take out of it. And an injury can put people out for months. I hope it's not too serious because she does look like an exciting player. She does look as though she's going somewhere. And I really hope she gets over this injury, whether she plays tomorrow in the semi-final against Kerber, I have no idea. I think it looks unlikely when you do an ankle like that, but we'll see. And I wish her all the best. Simona Halep is next up for a press conference, and I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say after her loss to Angie Kerber. No disgrace in that, and I'm sure she'll have taken things out of it.
When Angelique is seeing the ball like that, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly. She played really, really well today. I didn't play bad. I think that I missed a little bit too much in some points, important points, and I didn't take my chances. Also, in the second set, first game, I had 40-15 on my serve and I couldn't take the game. But in my opinion, it was a good match.
I mean, what are your thoughts now? You've had a few good matches here and also up against the defending Wimbledon champion to cap it off. I mean, where do you feel your grass game is at?
Well, I cannot say that I feel it 100%, but I'm getting better, I think. I changed some things during the match. I do different things, which makes me happy. I have one more match tomorrow, doubles, and then I go to Wimbledon. Expectations are pretty okay in my head, but I don't put pressure. Just match by match, and we will see how good I can be on grass this year.
Well, Simona, at least you forced her to bring out her very best game. How near your best game were you?
I'm not so good with the percentage, but I would say 70 on grass.
Okay, yeah. So more to come.
Yeah, in my opinion, yes. I missed a little bit too much today, and I was not patient because with her you have to be a little bit more patient. She is very strong on the baseline, and you have also to change something. So today I think I played wrong in some moments, and that's why I couldn't, couldn't take the games and couldn't take the lead a little bit in the match.
Of course, your cross-court backhand goes straight onto her forehand, and there were some fantastic exchanges to work out whether your backhand is better than her forehand cross-court. I don't know, it's about even, isn't it?
Yeah, she feels it very well there, and for me it's a little bit, not good because she hits forehand from there.
Yeah.
My backhand cross is really good in this moment, and I have confidence on that, but she hit so many good points today, and she got the confidence after those.
Angie's movement is a key part of her game, but movement on grass is very different. Is there something that you spot in her game that she's doing better on the grass?
Her game is very flat, and she has a big advantage because the ball doesn't bounce on grass, and also she has strong legs, so she can run. In my opinion, she feels the court, she feels the surface, and that's why she's very confident on it. And also the short angles, I think, help her a lot on this surface.
You had some success coming to the net today. Is that something you're looking to do more on grass?
Yes.
And is presumably the doubles helps get that part of your game sharp?
Yeah, I can say that, and that's why I decided also to play some doubles. I need to change some things on grass court, and I'm trying. So let's see how long it takes to get confident.
Will you be playing any doubles at Wimbledon at all?
No.
The drop shot's working.
Yeah. So I have some changes.
Serve and volley specialist to come?
Oh, that's too much. We don't exaggerate.
Thank you.
As Halep leaves, so today's victor, Angie Kerber, arrives.
It's never easy to play against Simona, but I was playing from the first point really good today, especially in the important moments. I was hitting the ball good, really deep, moving good. So I think, it was a quite good match from my side. And I know to play against Simona, you have to play until the last point because you never know what's happened. She is always fighting until the last one. So I was trying to stay focused the whole match. And it's great to have another really good match on my belt before Wimbledon.
Your movement is very key to your game. So what differences or what changes do you make to your movement specifically for grass?
Nothing really special because I'm just feeling good on grass. I mean, for me to having good matches, a lot of matches, that gives me the confidence to moving good as well on grass. And I was practicing a lot already in Mallorca with the movement because, I mean, that was the movement is the same. Like here, of course, the bounces and everything is a little bit different, but the movements are the same. So I was trying to taking, there already the chance to practicing with the movements and especially going to the corners because, I mean, on grass you don't have too long the radius. So it was important for me to starting already there to have like one more tournament before Wimbledon.
Do you feel close to top form or is there still a little way you can go and play even better than that?
I think I'm feeling good so far here. I mean, of course, every tournament it's different. I'm right now focusing on my semis now tomorrow and not thinking too much ahead to Wimbledon. It's for me important to have here another good match and, going with confidence to Wimbledon. That is the goal for me. And I just try to take it as a practice week. I mean, like I said yesterday, it's better to be here. It's a little bit quieter than in Wimbledon right now. So I prefer to stay here a little bit longer.
You've got Ons Jabeur next. She took out Jo Konta. It'll be a first time meeting for the two of you. So what do you know of her? What are you expecting?
Yeah, we never played against each other. So I think it will be an interesting match because always if you play someone you never played before, a challenge, but yeah, she's playing good here. I mean, she beat good players already, and she's feeling good on grass. But I will just try to continue like I played the last days, and not thinking too much against who I'm playing. It's more about me, about another good match, and about another good day here, and then we will see.
Mentally for you, how important is it for you to stay in the present and not think about what's been and what's coming up?
It is really important, especially for me, to really not putting too much pressure and staying here in the moment. With all the experience over the last years, I know that this is sometimes the key to really playing good tennis, performing good, and yeah, giving your best out there when you are on the court, on the center court, and not thinking what's happened last week, what's happened yesterday, just being in the moment, and also not thinking too much ahead that in a few days Wimbledon is starting, and. So it's just more to staying here and yeah, doing my best, what I can do right now.
Just one more question. What, I know you're not looking forward to Wimbledon, but obviously as a defending champion, you must have some perks now. The posh dressing room, towels. What are the perks of being a defending champion?
You know, I don't know. I think right now, really, I'm not thinking about Wimbledon, to be honest, because I know that when I in the car to Wimbledon, a lot of emotions will come, a lot of memories. But Wimbledon, for me, it's something special, something magic. And I will now try to really stay still here. And if it's here ready, finish here, I will be with my whole focus with my heart in Wimbledon, and this is the step by step thing for me right now.
Kiki Bertens has just beaten Aryna Sabalenka and joins us in the press room to talk about her victory.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Talk us through the second set onwards, I guess.
Yeah, it's always tough to play her, I would say, because you get some winners and then some errors. So, but I think first set I played really well. I think my level was, I think it was my best match on the grass so far. So then second set I dropped a little bit in the beginning. And then third set I was there again. Of course, a little bit lucky with the way I broke her. She was giving me some mistakes, but I think it was a really good fight.
Do you feel like your game matches up well to players like Sabalenka because you're good at absorbing power and defending well?
Yeah, I think so. I've never lost against her so far. So, no, I like it when someone's playing powerful and then I can just use the slice a little bit more. I don't have to put so much power in myself. And I think today I had the right balance, like where I could do something, like where I could hit the slice or where I could play a little bit more aggressive myself, so I think the balance was there again today.
And where do you feel your grass game is at this point?
No idea. No, it's still improving match by match. So today I was really happy with the way I played. Well, of course, for sure the first set, that was really good tennis, and I'm really happy with that. So yeah, we just take it from here again.
Are you starting to feel a bit?
It's getting there, yeah. No, I feel better every match I play, and also my level is going up. So, yeah, I'm just happy that I have another match tomorrow.
It looks like you're going to face Carolina. So just your thoughts on facing her on a surface that suits her quite well.
Yeah, she likes it, of course. I've played her last year in Wimbledon. I won there, so on the grass, but no, it's going to be tough. Her serve is really good, playing really aggressive. So, yeah, I think maybe it's going to be a little bit same matchup as today.
One of the things that players say is that they find that the grass here, compared to Birmingham, is a lot closer to what they're going to expect in Wimbledon. Is that what you've found in the past, that here is closer to Wimbledon?
Well, I've never played Birmingham, so I don't know. I think the weather has to do a lot with it. Like this week also, you know, it's the sun was out there again today also, so then the bounce is much higher. Wimbledon last year was exactly the same. The weather was so good. So, yeah, I would say that's also helping me a lot on the grass, yes.
How do you deal with somebody like Sabalenka today? You never quite know what's going to happen next, whether it's going to be a smile or a bit of something going on. How do you cope with just not looking down there and just keep on your own game?
Just trying to do what I have to do, I would say. Just focus on the points, how I want to play. Sometimes you don't really get in that rhythm because she's playing so good. But just when you get the chance, just do your own thing and just stay with that. Yes.
How far have you got with your puzzle?
It's done.
Oh, is it done?
Yes.
So now, what are you gonna do?
So now I don't have anything to do. So maybe I should buy a new one.
Or you could come and take it apart for you and you can do it.
And I can do it again. Well, I don't think I have enough days left here, so I will not make it again, no.
In the past couple of years, you've really established yourself as one of the top players. How have you found it dealing with the increased expectations that come with that?
It's tough, I would say, but I think it's also a good thing to have. So I think at the moment I'm dealing pretty well with it. In the past, I was struggling with that more. Like when I made the semis in Paris a few years ago, then I was really struggling after with all the tension, with all the, what you said, with all the expectations. But right now I just feel like, okay, right now it's going well, but next week it can be over. So just try and enjoy it and try to stay in the moment and just do whatever you can. No, I'm not trying to think about too much, no. I'm just taking it day by day and trying to improve every day, and then we see where it ends.
I'm Michael Stafford-Jones. I'm a journalist for UB Tennis.
So, I wanted to chat to you about the summer that we have in this country, the grass court season, but primarily before Wimbledon, because it's an incredible festival of tennis, and I still think not enough people know about it. What's your views on that?
It would be great if more people knew about it, if more people came to watch, because they don't realise how close they can get to the players, how much they can see them in a more relaxed environment without the pressures of Wimbledon. And the LTA and sort of everybody around tennis could do with doing as much as they can to get more people to come and watch.
And also, there's something about that closeness. You've mentioned it, and it's something I keep harping on about. That closeness is something that engenders lifelong support for, say, kids when they suddenly see the people that they've seen on the television up close, 2 feet away, and then coming over and signing balls or handing out wristbands, quite happily mingling with the crowd.
Oh, absolutely. You're not prepared for that buzz that comes when you see a big international star walking past you. They've got their kit, they've got their coach with you. You're wondering what they're thinking, whether they're going to do well in their match, whether they're annoyed at all these people around them, those kind of things.
It seems to be very relaxed at all the tournaments that I've seen, and kids seem to be having the most wonderful sort of time. And I think one of the things we need to do, especially in this country, as well as across the world, is get more kids interested in sport. And surely these pre-Wimbledon tournaments are absolutely the best way to engender support for kids in this country.
Definitely, yeah. These are great environments for kids because they have that space to roam around. It's not such, there's not so much security. There's not so much of any of the sort of major organisation that goes with the big tournaments, and the players do autograph sessions, everything like that.
The other thing that I find incredible is watching the players in these smaller tournaments. They seem to really enjoy it, and with each week that we have, the first few days where they're sort of relaxing into the tournament, but as with every tournament, once they get to the semis and the final, it becomes serious business. How do you think the players feel about these grass court tournaments before Wimbledon?
I mean, it obviously depends on the player. If a player doesn't enjoy the surface that they're playing on, then they see it as a bit of a chore. But the ones that enjoy it, they're so relaxed in the opening matches because they're not really thinking so much about winning the match. They're just trying to practice. They're trying to get used to the grass. So you see them go out there, have a good time, hit freely, and just see what happens. And as you mentioned, when they get to the later stages, then they sort of you see their game face come on. Their demeanor changes, and they really want to win.
Does it ever surprise you when you suddenly look at the player list and you go, "We are 2 weeks before a Grand Slam," and look at the list of players that we've got here, i.e., Eastbourne and Birmingham? It's incredible, isn't it, that they go out and play so close to a tournament?
It's surprising in a way, but actually that's exactly what they should be doing. They need to go and get used to the grass because it's a very different surface to the other ones, particularly clay, which they will have just come off. So that's exactly what they should be doing. They should be going to one of these lovely grass court tournaments that are very chilled out, and they can get used to grass before Wimbledon.
The one thing we've had over the last few weeks is an awful lot of rain, and that's changed everyone's mood while that's been going on.
Well, yeah, the rain completely ruined the tournament up in Nottingham, which is a great shame. But as long as the players don't play on slippery court, because that is the worst possible thing. If they got injured on a slippery court due to rain, the organisers just can't take any chances with this when it's rained, unfortunately.
It's interesting, actually. At Surbiton last year, I was, because I love Surbiton. It's such a small tournament. And as a photographer, you literally go and stand by the net and take photos. You're not far away at all. And there was a tiny little spit of rain, and I think it was Jeremy Shardy just said, "We can't play in this." And I was thinking, are you joking? And I moved to my left, and my foot nearly gave way under me. It gets so slippy because of the way they cut it, I guess. It's like a really slick surface.
It's almost like a sort of a carpet when you're playing on grass. It's so soft, so you put the slightest bit of moisture on it and it becomes slick, and you just go over. So it genuinely is very dangerous if there's even a little bit of rain.
After my near incident, I will never moan about players going on about the rain on grass ever again.
Well, perhaps more fans should experience the slidey nature of grass, and then they'd understand. But I don't think people complain about the players being taken off. They just complain about the rain. They complain about the weather itself, one of our favourite British sort of foibles.
It's absolutely true. So you at these tournaments, you write for UB Tennis, which is a great website. What's your remit there for these tournaments? Are you writing overall, or are you picking out specific stories? How does it work for you?
For UB Tennis, they very much want to get a sort of wide picture of tennis. They want to look at all the best players, all the best stories, a little bit of everyone, so that people going to the site can find out pretty much everything major in tennis that's going on. And that's the aim of the site. So for me, I pick certain matches, certain players each day to focus on, and try to give people an impression of what's going on at these tournaments. And I think there need to be more sites that are focusing on the whole world of tennis rather than just perhaps the individual countries that those sites are going out in.
UB Tennis is run by, well, I'll let you tell me, whose website is it? Who's the man at the top?
The person who runs UB Tennis is a guy by the name of Ubaldo Scanagata, I believe it's pronounced. And he's a very quirky character, very famous on the tennis circuit for his idiosyncrasies. And I think sometimes the site reflects his personality in that you get a bit of everything. And I think everyone could do with a little bit more entertainment from websites rather than perhaps straight news reporting all the time.
I think you're right. And actually, Ubaldo, we interviewed in Series 1 of Drop Shot. We wanted just a quote from Ubaldo about the next gen of players. And he said, "Oh, the next gen of players, it'd be much better to ask me about the older players. I know so much more about them." And we were thinking, well, that's not what we want. And we sat him down with a microphone and we just listened to him for about 35 minutes. It was absolutely fantastic as he regaled us with tales of Bjorn Borg and McEnroe and the Italian Open, which I believe he was the tournament director of. He was fantastic. So I'd urge everyone to go back to Series 1 and listen to that, because he's really, really entertaining. A real character.
And tennis absolutely needs those characters. People love hearing passionate speaking. They love hearing passionate opinions about things. They want to hear stories of what's gone on in the past. They want to get the inside scoop on these things. And someone like Ubaldo, who's been around about the tennis tour for years, is bound to know loads of juicy secrets and all sorts of stories, and can describe the crazy things that happen, sometimes to him himself.
Yeah, that's true, because if I remember rightly, he was the guy who fell asleep in a Nadal press conference.
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely hilarious. And Nadal's comic timing was right on point when that happened. And credit to you, Valdo, he let it be published on his own site and everything, and everyone had a great laugh.
Well, thank you ever so much for taking the time out to talk to us at Drop Shot. I hope you continue to enjoy the summer. Will you be going to Wimbledon?
Yes, as I won't be going as a journalist this year, I'll be camping for one night in the first week and then going the next day, which I would recommend to everyone. If you get there early enough the day before, you are guaranteed tickets for Centre Court, and slightly later and you'll get tickets for Court 1. So it's a great opportunity. You don't have to sit around waiting for the ballot. You can just go and queue and have great fun with all the other people pitching up their tents.
Well, I hope you have a happy night's camping and enjoy the rest of the summer. And thanks ever so much.
Thank you.
Kyle Edmund has just beaten Dan Evans in a battle of the Brits in a rousing match on Centre Court. Their press conferences should be interesting.
I played good in the first set, served pretty well, and then I found it difficult to get into his service games, but yeah, all credit to him, he played pretty good and was better today.
Yeah, poor start in terms of getting in the match. You could say, yeah, credit to Dan for sort of putting his stamp on it, but also I think I could have done a lot better and a lot more to stop that or put a bit more of my stamp on it, but... The best thing from that is to react to it, and I did. Just got more engaged, put my sort of personality and engagement into the match and my game almost. And I've, you know, the good ability to be aggressive and take control of rallies and games. So it was really good for me. You know, obviously not playing a lot of matches, but that type of match, you know, against the guy who you're playing, a Brit. There's a bit of pressure on you to win. He's only lost one match on the grass this year, winning two tournaments. I think he's won 12 matches on the grass, so a lot in a very short space of time. To come across the line with a W is pleasing. The personality of my game is aggressive and explosive and powerful, so it's tough to do that with a very sort of laid-back approach, very sort of lethargic. That's probably what I was... how I was going about my business in the first set, so I needed to change, and I did change that from the second set onwards. When I got that break from then on, I really felt like I dominated a lot more rallies or points than I was in the first set.
Evans is asked whether he thought Edmund's game was aggressive today.
I thought it was a good competitive match, and I've seen him like that before, and I think he's way better when he plays like that, so you know, and that obviously showed again today. I had good energy and he was playing good.
Edmund is asked how important were fist pumps and showing his aggression.
A little bit. I mean, it comes across in the rallies. The guys aren't stupid. They can feel it when you're getting engaged and sort of getting on top. Doesn't have to be fist pumps. It can be in the play. People feel the pressure. They feel the heat. And that needs to start with me in the points rather than in between the points. I mean, it's not really something that you plan, it's more of the doing the right thing in the right moment. But the only way you can obviously fist pump is if you're getting on top.
Sometimes you can be a little nervous playing, you know, someone you know, but no, I mean, it's just strictly business really with Kyle, and I thought he was the same really. There's no needle or nothing. It was just a good match, and yeah, he was good. He was, yeah, obviously was better than me.
Did you sense any fatigue from Dan? Because it's been a lot of match play for him.
Yeah, I mean, this is tennis. Everyone is fatigued at some point. It's professional sport. I don't know anyone that isn't fatigued in some way coming in. And if they're not, I'd love to know their program and what they do for recovery. But it is normal that people are going to fatigue. I don't know if he was or wasn't, but... That is the nature. We play a lot throughout the year, a lot of weeks. You're dealing with stuff. So for me, I have to, whoever's down the other end, I have to, you know, be ruthless and try and win.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing Wimbledon, really. That's my only sort of feeling is to get out there and get going. Take a day off tomorrow and then practice Saturday and Sunday, and then hopefully get going Monday or Tuesday.
Is this feeling like a real rebuilding process for you at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to do my best every week. I'm touch wood, I'm happy with where I'm at in terms of my body right now. So making sure that stays consistent, you know, I don't slack off and take for granted. So it's good. I mean, I had, you know, a good win, let's say, in French Open, and those sort of matches coming through tough tests, especially against a French guy, and, you know, I was definitely the underdog there. It was, that can rebuild your season or get you confidence. And but I just feel since I came back from Paris, I've been in the gym a lot, practicing well, been practicing a lot better after Queen, so it's nice to sort of transition that on the match court.
From coming back and fighting your way up through the rankings to this year, it does feel like something's sort of changed in you, that there's a, that you've shifted up a gear. Do you feel like you're anywhere near the kind of form that you showed when you hit the top 50?
Yeah, I'm pretty close, obviously, to that ranking at the minute. Feel I'm playing pretty good. It's just, you know, you need those matches like today. You sneak them and then you go a bit quicker, but I didn't. And then, you know, hopefully there's another chance next week. Lucky for me, and, you know, another good chance as well. Big points.
Are you kind of superstitious guy that doesn't look at the draw, or do you sort of look to see
who I'm playing?
Well, look to see a couple of games ahead, a couple of rounds ahead. Or do you...
I'll look at the top and bottom of the draw and hope my name's not next to any of them too.
How much do you enjoy your relationship with the crowds? Like today, yet again, you come across as a great entertainer, you have a rapport with the crowd. Is that something that you enjoy?
No, I mean, it's good that they've had a nearly full crowd every day, and, you know, it's good for British tennis if they're filling those stadiums, and hopefully tomorrow in the final, I'm sure they'll have good crowds again. And if there's a Brit involved or Brits involved, it's good for everyone, I think.
And how off-putting are the seagulls when you're getting ready to serve?
It's all right. I mean, it's just part and parcel of Eastbourne. Like, you just get on with it a bit. I think the crowd find it a bit more entertaining than we do.
Sam, it's Kerry. Yeah. Kerry, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Pleased to meet you.
You too.
And I'd just like to have a quick chat with you about today. How was that for you today? Are we doing it as a walk and talk? Okay.
All right. Let me get my latte.
Okay. You get your latte. So how was that for you being back on the court playing this week?
It's great. It's my first tournament in about 3 months, so it feels good to kind of come out and get three match wins, and hopefully I can get a couple more and walk away with the title.
And is there a sense of relief having gone through this period of time without playing to be back on a court?
Yeah, it's just fun to be back out there. You know, when you have injuries, you start to miss it, and to be able to come back out and play on a surface that I like right away was helpful. And so, you know, it's a good start to hopefully a healthy rest of the year.
And how do you cope mentally with I think we're going through this way, aren't we? How do you cope mentally with a long period of injuries like you've gone through? Is it hard to keep on doing the rehabilitation and work?
You know, it's not that tough. You know, on one side, we travel all year, and I've done it for 12 years, so it's nice to have a little break. But I definitely did miss it, and I'm happy to be back out there. I've had injuries in the past, and so I've known what it's like to be out for 3-4 months at a time. So, you know, it's not my first time going through something like this.
And as for being in England, you enjoy the grass court season, don't you?
Definitely. I love playing on grass. I love playing in England. I've been to Eastbourne probably 3 or 4 times. I like playing here, so I'm very comfortable here.
And did you know that you, at the last couple of Queens, you've played 2 Brits on their debuts on the ATP Tour in Cam Norrie and Jay Clark?
Yep. I did know that, yeah. And they're, you know, obviously when I played them, it was kind of their first match, and I won both times pretty easily, but they've really improved a ton since then. So, you know, I definitely don't want to play them again now. They've gotten so much better, and you know, hopefully both of them. I mean, Norrie's already a staple in the top 100, and hopefully Jay will be there soon.
What's it like when you play abroad and play local tennis players? Is that fun for you? Is it a challenge? Do you rise to that?
It is fun. I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, as an American, I get to play in America probably 10 times a year, so usually I'm on the good side of that. So I don't mind it when you're playing a hometown guy. It makes the atmosphere a little more fun.
And also in America, there's quite a few youngsters coming through. How do you see the American game at the moment and the guys who are coming through right now?
It's good. I mean, like you just said it, there's a lot of young guys, and, you know, they're starting to win tournaments. You know, Riley Opelka's won a tournament now, and Taylor's made the final of one, but he's consistently winning matches in big tournaments, and Francis Tiafoe's playing great. So hopefully they'll just keep pushing each other, and we can have an American Grand Slam champion on the men's side one of these days.
And for you, what are your aims and ambitions for the rest of the year?
You know, I hope I'm healthy, and I hope I can get my game going, win some matches, and just keep improving my ranking week after week.
Thank you very much, Sam.
No problem.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Gary.
And now Sam goes to a signing session at the LTA Marquee. Charming man. Thank you, Sam.
You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series, and when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster, and Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
Is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No